In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. As Andrew reminded us, 5,000 people, and that wasn't counting the women and children. That's quite a crowd. How many people would we fit into this main church area of St. James, Mount Eliza? I'm told 140. I'm also told that on one occasion with extra seating, we've managed to jam in 200 people. 200. And we're talking about 5,000 people. So that would be about 50 absolutely packed St. James Mount Elizas scattered around the landscape. That's quite mind-boggling. I'm also told that the maximum number that they can fit into St. Paul's Cathedral in Melbourne is 1,200 people. So imagine over four or five times St. Paul's Cathedral. You wouldn't have be able to get along Flinders Street. In fact, you'd have trouble in Swanson Street as well. And that's how many were fed by Jesus in today's gospel. What would we have seen happen to the loaves and fish if we'd been there? I don't know. I once saw a film in which this incident was depicted, and the director had baskets sitting there and suddenly loaves and fish exploding out of them. Well, perhaps, but I'm not convinced. Don't think they quite saw that. So I have no idea. Maybe every time they reached into the basket there was more there or something. I don't know. But if anyone's feeling doubtful about this particular miracle, I'm not doubtful about it at all. And I have two reasons for not being doubtful about it. The first is, apart from the resurrection of Jesus, from my recollection, this is the only miracle that occurs in all four Gospels. Second reason is that last century, in the 1940s, there is a record of a miracle like this occurring. Those of you who have read Corrie ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place, will recall this particular miracle. Corrie and her sister Betsy had been arrested by the Nazis in Holland. They ended up in Ravensbrück concentration camp. What was their crime? Well, they were hiding Jews. But the Nazis were never able to find the Jews that they were hiding. But they did find the illegal ration books that they were using to feed them with. So they were being transferred from prison to Ravensbrück concentration camp. And Corrie managed to smuggle in with her, in spite of all the searches, managed to smuggle in a bottle of divitamin drops. And she used it to supplement the food that her sister Betsy, and so herself, were eating. Betsy insisted on sharing it around. Corrie was very worried. After all, it wasn't a huge bottle by any means, or they'd never have smuggled it in. So just carefully and thinking, that's funny, it must run out soon. And it kept supplying vitamin drops, day after day. One night, Corrie was trying to puzzle us out. Maybe the bottle's thinner than we thought it was, and therefore there are more drops there. And she heard Betsy laughing. And she said, "Corrie, you'll drive yourself mad. Just accept it as a gift which our heaven-loving Heavenly Father's given us." It lasted for ages, until one of the prisoners, who was also acted as an orderly in the hospital, in the camp, managed to get to them a bottle of vitamin supplements, which she thieved from the hospital in the camp. So, Corrie said, "Now we must first of all, mustn't waste anything, first of all finish up the vitamin drops." Not another drop came out of the bottle. It was sufficient, but just sufficient. But it should not have lasted that long. So, it has happened since. Now, there is a... Okay, we can just leave it there as a miracle that happened. But there's more to it than that. St. John's Gospel tells us that Jesus pointed out how this miracle of the loaves and fishes pointed to himself as being the even greater miracle of him feeding us with his body and blood. In other words, in the Eucharist. He is the bread of life who gives himself to us through the Eucharistic bread. And before Jesus gave the crowd the loaves and fish, you'll notice that he said grace before the meal. He took the loaves and the fish in his hand. Because the first thing that anyone would do, any good Jew would do before a meal, and the same thing applies today, is to take a piece of bread in their hand, a loaf, lift up their eyes as a sign of prayer, and say the blessing. And a Jew blesses something by blessing God over it. And we even have a pretty reasonable idea of the kind of words Jesus would have used. By around about 200 AD, they were fixed and every Jew was obliged to say the exact words. But they would have been something like this in the time when Jesus was on earth. He would have taken the loaf, looked up, and said something like, "Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, who bring bread out of the earth." And everyone, after hearing that, would say very heartily, "Amen." That's exactly what happened at the feeding of the 5,000. And then he broke the bread, because that is the part of the grace, the Jewish grace. You break a piece off the loaf. And then everybody can have their share. And the meal goes on. And that is exactly what we do in the Eucharist, because it's exactly what Jesus told us to do when he instituted the Eucharist at the last meal on Maundy Thursday night. He would have, as the person presiding at the table, he would have taken the loaf in his hands, lifted his eyes as a sign of prayer, said the thanksgiving over it, "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread to share." And everyone would have said, Amen. He then broke the bread, as we're told, only because he said it was his body. He had to tell them to take it. He didn't have any. That's why he had to say, take, eat, because they'd have been reclining there with their piece of bread in their hands, waiting for him to give the signal to eat by eating some himself. He didn't. This is my body, which is being given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And that's what we do. We take the bread and the wine by placing them on the altar. And we, at the same time, we also bring our other offerings to the altar. We give thanks over them. And the priest breaks the bread, and we receive the bread and the wine as the body and blood of Jesus. Same procedure. Jesus is the bread of life who gives himself to us through the Eucharistic bread. And finally, as Andrew pointed out, we should note how little he used to achieve his purpose. And yet, what did he do with them? Something tremendous. Now, we may have but little, but he can use the little we have to achieve what he wants through us. But we do need to be alert to him and to trust him. And if we are alert to him and if we trust him, he will do it through us. The Lord be with you.